that's 13 years older than him will come to him all the time and tell him that, you know, whether I could help him with some money. You know, he's coming to ask him for money and tell him, you see, if my father had not died, that things would not have been like this. Things would have turned out differently for him. So he'll give the guy money and not complain, and the man will go. Then the man will come back another time. After telling him all his woes, he will say, ah, if my father had not died, things would not have been like this. The man will come another time. He said, the last time he came, they say, I have not seen him since that time. The man came, he grabbed him by the neck and said, is your father not my father? Mean that you come to all the time telling stories of, if my father had not died, I think we are born by that same man that died. But here he was, a successful man that had, in fact, it took quite some story there, how, you know, he's a lawyer, and how he started practicing and started making a lot of money and all that kind of thing. He said, he and this guy, of course, were born by the same father. And the guy kept on coming to him every day, explaining that if his father had not died, then his life would not have been like this. I'm just telling that to let you know that people keep on having all kinds of excuses for why things will not turn well, will not turn out well, of why they will not succeed but fail. They have all kinds of stories. You know, in my place, this is the way we are. They tell you all kinds of stories. You know, my father couldn't do this for me. But what I'm saying is that what the first thing a child of God needs to know is that Jesus came down so that he will make all your excuses irrelevant. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is, any excuse you'll have had for failing, Jesus is saying that it's now irrelevant. You should have given it 2,000 years ago. But as of today, I have died to obtain for you an eternal inheritance. Are you getting my point? So that this is where a man starts from. That he starts knowing that I am not disadvantaged in any form. There is a vision that God has given me. You know, you've heard me say it all the time. I am one of the greatest and most important men you have ever seen in your life. I know that God has given that to me. So what I'm doing right now is that I'm possessing it. And one of the active ways by which I possess that, I tell you all the time, that's the honest truth. That is the honest truth. The first, I have not, look, we are talking about physical things. I don't have a natural path that will lead me there. That is why God told Abraham, come, I will show you. As we are going, I will be showing you where to turn at each point in time. Nobody knows the address. You cannot consult anybody to explain to you where the place of God's inheritance is. All you can do is walk with him daily and you will get it. But before you can get up and begin to move, you know the first thing you have to know is that the place is there. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? You know, the story of Tunde Bakai really taught me. In fact, let me say it admonished me, because I have explained this same thing to people again and again. He said that when he was in law school, before he finished, one of his cousins that was working as a company secretary in one of the oil companies came to him and explained that, look, he has arranged for him to take up the job as assistant legal officer of the company. So they had arranged it so that he says it's a very nice job, well paying and everything. That the guy's idea actually is that eventually, by the time he's retiring, he will take over as a company secretary. He finished school, everything. He said, then he told himself, he said, I studied law because I want to practice law. That this man wants to turn me to a company secretary, I don't think it will work. And those guys were being well, of course, you know how oil companies pay. They were very well paid. So then I went and told him, brother, I'm not sure, say, I want that job. He said, the guy raved and ranted and shouted everything. He said to him, look, my brother, I wanted to practice law. That was why I studied it. I don't want to be anybody's company secretary. He says, so he began to work for Ganifawa Imi, earning far less than the guy who went to take his job, maybe. And from there, his salary was there, 400 naira. From 400 naira, he went to work for, Rotimi Williams. From there, he went to another company, finally started his own law firm. And then, along the line, his cousin that was trying to link him up with that job retired. And while he was practicing, the guy came to him one day, explained that he had retired and that there is a business he's trying to start, but the money is not complete. Whether this guy could lend him money to come and start the business. He said he looked at the man, thought to himself, This is the same job this man was trying to scheme me to get. Now, he's coming to me to ask for help, financial help. What I'm saying is that, you see, men tend to plan with a poverty mentality. You know, poverty does not mean you don't have cash in your pocket. Poverty is in your head. Now, let me tell you what. Edco said maturity is the ability to delay gratification. If you know that God is taking you somewhere, there are certain kinds of rubbish you will not take. You know, I have told you before, all the times they were insulting Nigerians at the embassies, I said, may God strike me dead if he finds me on that queue. You know, they used to insult Nigerians at the embassies. Let God in heaven kill me. If he finds me queuing up like that and a white man will be treating me like this, I said, God forbid. Why? Because I am a great man that something great has been given to. Do you follow my point? That I know that two of my type was never created. I am so uniquely beautiful that I can't stand on the queue for you to be raising your nose at me that, no, God forbid, bad thing. I'm telling you people the honest truth. When I am ready to go and visit them, it is with honor and dignity I will collect the visa. You know, I consider people's testimonies and I work according to men who have worked with God. I told you about cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses does not mean that this court case is being witnessed by many people. You know, some people interpret Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to mean that. That's being seen that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. That's not what it means. Cloud of witnesses means that in this particular case, we have a long list of people that witnessed the thing happen and they have come to give their testimonies. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 was referring to Hebrews chapter 11. That saying that all these people have shown us how faith works. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, cloud of witnesses keeps growing. I mean, if I start telling the stories of men who are my cloud of witnesses, I read John G. Lake, add him to my cloud of witnesses. I just told the story of Tunde Bakare, he's in my cloud of witnesses. When I want to tell you how the word of God works, I quote their life stories for you. Do you follow me? Cloud of witness in that area. Bishop Boyedek was there one day, they said he should come to one country. So he said, all right, he gave his passport to his boys. Go and bring me a visa. They got there and said, Oga wants a visa. The master had need of it. So they said, where is he? He should come here. He said, him, come here. Give us the passport. He's not going to come anywhere. So he went back. Okay, they didn't give us visa. He said, bring my passport. Thank you here. I'm not begging anybody to go to any country. I like my office here. In fact, I have too much work to do. So the men who invited him said, Okay, you not come? He said, no, they didn't. So those ones went to their home office or whatever it is and made noise. Let us, after some time, they got a call from the embassy. Please, we'll come and collect the visa before things begin to happen here. That's my own cloud of witnesses. Do you get my point? The man said he has traveled to a country before. Serious country. He didn't have a visa. The airline made him sign that if they deport him, he'll bear the cost. He said, no problem. I'm in a hurry. He got there to the airport. He didn't make the country. He said, where is your visa? I said, I don't have one. So he sat down. Of course, after making or two phone calls, they gave him a visa right there and said, you can go in. That's cloud of witnesses. Are you getting the point I'm making? No, he wasn't walking presumptuously. I'm not saying tomorrow you should park because covetousness want to take you to America. They will deport you from the runway. They will send you back. You are not going to fly anywhere. That's not what we're talking about. Life is in phases and men are in sizes. Are you getting the point I'm making? What I'm saying is that this is the land that I am possessing. That's the one I'm describing to you. I can't imagine that people like Dende Fernandez will fly to one country and you deport him that he does not have visa. Are you mad? Okay, you don't know the man, one of the richest Nigerians that exists today. I mean, when he's traveling all over the world, he goes in no private jet. He doesn't join you to queue up for British Airways or KLM. He will land at the airport and he says, okay, where's your visa? You are clowning. I mean, you are trying to make him laugh. If he eyes you like this, you lose your job there. No, I'm not preaching that you should go there by faith. No. The Bible says when the crop permits, I have told that the kingdom is like a man sowing seed in the ground, he goes to sleep. A point will come, the Bible says that the crop will permit, then he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You will know when some things are appropriate for your level. Do you get my point? I remember Archbishop Benson in Dahosa. They would declare coffee in Benin. He said he's organizing program, church programs. Still, he doesn't care that there's coffee or no coffee. Then when he finishes the program at night, he'll say, when you are going home, when they say, hey, where are you going? He say, I'm coming from Church of God Mission. The Archbishop said I should be going. That is crop that has permitted. Look, it's a fact. Nobody wants to just stop. Hey, where are you coming from? Don't you know it's a coffee? Say, we're coming from church. Archbishop said we should go home. Oh, they say, okay, carry on. I mean, this man, what's his name? The evangelist at Ibadan. Wale, okay. I remember one day, he came to preach in our church in Ado Ekiti. As soon as he finished, I think 2 a.m., he entered his vehicle, started going back to Ibadan, and was driving an S-Class Mercedes Benz. So everybody, they feel like, this man, not the fear arm robber. You know what he said? The only time he meets any roadblock, arm robber, police, anyone, he just went and said, I'm Wale, okay. They will clear the road and he keep going. So he used to travel at all kinds of hours. He didn't give a damn. When the crop permits, the man brings forth the sickle because the harvest has come. What I'm teaching to you today is to set your mind on that land that you can't physically see, but that the word of God has described as your inheritance. Then you stop settling for stupid things. I told you that when I finished university, people say, won't you look for a job in oil company? I say, me, oil company, God forbid, bad thing. I don't want, look, what do I look like a drilling machine that they used to drill or what? I'm telling you the truth. The only job I could take is the one I've taken. University lecturer. Because that job is a part-time job. That is it. But somebody to lock me from morning till night, saying that you are my property, I pay you in petrol dollars. I said, listen to me. Even if I don't earn a salary, God has said, they that seek the Lord will never be in the want of anything good. So I free my life to be able to obey God's call. Because I know that this guy has been specially created for this particular season in life. And I must manifest before I die. Look, let me tell you what. All the devil does for people is to buy their destiny with money. You know, I keep on saying it to you. What the devil uses to buy people's destiny is present-day cash. The alternative is always that you will have little. But let me tell you, when you have set your eyes somewhere great, you will notice that. I told you that once. I chopped so much. The description of this inheritance was so great before my eyes, my shoe caught under. I did not notice. I was using the money to buy more descriptions of the inheritance. When I see another description of the inheritance, I buy it. No, for, what do you mean by description of inheritance? The word of God being preached. Until my friends were laughing that, oh boy, look your shoe. I said, what thing do I? The thing is facing heaven. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Why? Because literally, I am not joking. I was literally intoxicated with the description of God's inheritance. That listen, look, these shoes are temporary. You don't get my point. We are going somewhere permanent. The Bible calls that eternal inheritance. I'm explaining that men should learn to imbibe the description of this inheritance and it will affect the way you make choices. You know, this is always my problem with young women. You don't need a rich man to marry. You understand my point? You don't need one. What you need is a man that has vision. Hey, that is a fact. Look, let me tell you, young boys, young men. If you are chasing a woman, you are dragging her with a guy who drives down in the latest model S-Class all the time, don't be intimidated. Just go to the mirror, look at yourself, and describe God's inheritance. Tell yourself what God has made you. And if she can't see it, go, bye-bye. Is there any fight there? There's no quarrel. Those who can see it are blessed by God. Blessed are you because your eyes are seeing these things. No, that's what the Bible says. I know my wife is blessed. She annoys me occasionally, but she's still blessed. for being able to see when other people were blinded. Do you understand my point? I was walking with one of my friends once, a colleague, when we were doing training. Adia was just walking. She's a lady, so we're walking together. She was married anyway, so I wasn't yapping her. I was just talking. I said, Dr. D, if all these young women could see what I am seeing, they'll be lining up here and begging me to marry them. And you know, she looked at me and said, ha, Banky, you have come again. I said, no, I'm telling you the truth. No, because I told you I used to walk around intoxicated. I think right now, the wine has just settled. It's not as if I am no longer, I just that the wine has said we have had a, we not have a relationship. The wine knows how not to trouble me too much. No, that's the truth. But I still have that vision great. I told you when I was living in Lagos, he said, ah, Lagos is where money is. I said, listen, money is wherever I go. That is, if I face Sahara Desert, you just see money channel in the direction of Sahara Desert. Why? Because there is an eternal inheritance which the Lord Jesus died for and paid with his blood to obtain for me. Now, if a woman understands this, this is the point I want you to understand. She will sell all that she has. He will sell all that he has to buy that field. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the way the kingdom of God is. That is, there is treasure in this field. The owner is ready to sell it. Because he doesn't understand the value of that field. But every person that understands the value will be selling all that they have to get it. Let me tell you what, those who don't understand the value, when they see you selling all that you have to get that thing, they will think you very foolish. Let me tell you, with God, making choices, not just I choose inheritance. Every day, you confirm and fine-tune your choice by the kind of choices you make every day. You know, we had a teaching here one day talking about how to make choices before God. That whose criteria are these that you are using to make choices? Let me tell you, if you understand where God wants to take you, there are some things you won't take. No, somebody was asking the other day, they say, you finally did it. I said, did what? That you threatened that your wife will stop working. Hey, which one is threatening it? I said, it's a matter of priority. You got a home, you got a job. The job says, wake up at 5 and go come and leave home at 6:30 and come back there at 12 midnight. And the home says, man, you got to take care of this place. Since you are not working for money, that's what I'm going to come to. It is not money that you are working for. You are not afraid of poverty. Poverty cannot scare me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I am not afraid of poverty because of the word of God that has guaranteed that anyone that chooses what pleases him, God said he will give him an inheritance better than what people are seeking for. Sons, daughters, houses, everything. I said, so I am seeking after God. If I cannot defend your living house at 6:30 and come back at 12 midnight before God, then you have to stop it. You're either the breadwinner or... In fact, I'm not even the breadwinner. God is the bread killer. I hope you get the point I'm trying to make. That is, you make decisions because I know, look, there is a place I'm going to. I won't die before I get there. That's always my choice. As a great and influential man, my BP must remain at a good level. Not I have burnt myself out by using the quality of life that God has given me to chase material things. No, I use the life of God to bring about material things. That is, God has an inexhaustible supply of life in himself. Let me explain what I say. The life of man can be converted to cash. You know, I keep on telling you. That is why people do ritual killing and make money. Life has value. People convert their own personal lives to cash in different ways. But by the time you have used your life, or by the time you are 50, you are dead. Nothing to use to enjoy the money you have gathered. But I have decided in life, no. The blessing of God they make rich, and they had no sorrow. So my BP must be normal. As a great man and 70, 80, 90, and a 100-year-old man. Get my point, 100, I said that. I read in the scriptures that a man working with God in God's kingdom, dying before the age of 100, he did something wrong. I know what I'm saying. And at that time, don't think I'm going to retire. Retirement is not God's plan at all. Do you get my point? I have read that he said that the righteous man will be fruitful in his old age. Not retiring to any place. Do you hear what I said? Not retiring anywhere. I'm explaining that there is a description of our inheritance. That is, the life of God is present in a man's flesh. It's present in a woman's body. That is guiding the things that you are doing, knowing that there will soon be a manifestation. All God has given you concerning that inheritance is what? A description of it. But what I want to emphasize on today is not even that description per se, but the fact that you have to make up your mind whether you really want it. And you make that choice. There's a portion of the scripture I want us to read to explain what I'm trying to say. Because you make that choice. Deuteronomy chapter... There's something I want to read there to just explain. 30, yeah? Yeah, thank you. All right. Yeah. Now, there's something I want you to understand here. From verse 18. It said, I declare to you today that you... let me start from... From 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now, the point I want you to note here is that he said, choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. But you don't just choose life by saying that, okay, how many people are choosing life? Put up your hand. You put up your hand. No, he didn't make an altar call for life. What he did is that there is a principle for choosing life. He said, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, by holding fast to him, this is your life. Do you get my point? That is, you don't have to go and say, I have chosen life. No, all you need to do is demonstrate the love that you have for your God by obeying his commandments. So that way you have chosen life, because the obedience to that commandment is your life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, if a man says that he has chosen before God to go out for this inheritance, he doesn't need to put up a hand in an altar call. What he needs is to organize his life in a manner that shows that this is where I'm going. And he starts making decisions because this is the place I am from. You need our place. If a man has not built a house by 35, he's regarded as a failure. So I have to build a house first so that they will know I'm not a failure. I have told you, God's word needs no proof. Do you understand my point? If God says you are blessed, you don't need to demonstrate to anybody that you are blessed. Buying a car before you go home for Christmas, for what? So that they will know that you are blessed. No, God has said you are blessed. That is the proof that you need, that you are blessed. Don't need anything to prove to anybody. I hope you get the point I'm trying to make. I have told you, look, you're not competing with anybody in life. Just put your eyes on the place that God is taking you to, that you know. And eventually you will find out what the Bible means when it says the earth by itself produces. As you make your choices every day, Your main focus is what I am choosing, pleasing God, or it is not. I explained that Joseph, what was Joseph's problem when he came to Mrs. Potiphar? It was not whether Mr. Potiphar will find out or not, but how can I do this and sin against God? Period. God said, okay, you are ready for it. So next test, you throw him into a pit. But the point I want you to understand is that every point in life, like we said, God was described as the fear of Isaac. His emphasis, his focus was that, what am I doing? How is God reacting to the thing I am doing? Listen, if you make up your mind like that, and you are walking like that every day, that means that you have set your eyes on that place of that inheritance. And let me tell you what, it's important we understand this gospel, because God indeed wants to break out on people. He wants to do something great in their lives. But you know, even Christians, most of the time, they are not ready for it. There's an illustration I gave once, that if God wants to choose maybe a president for a country, he will call about 5,000 men in one generation. You understand my point? In one generation, call about 5,000. And sieve them until there remain only one. How does he do it? He just starts, you bring all of them to a river. Okay, everybody drink water. You understand? You know the principle of Gideon. It's how you drink the water that is watching out for. But that's a type. But in reality in life, the kind of choices you make. The most important one I have said is what men are ready to do for money. No, usually that's how it sees people out. A lot, listen, anytime I have a discussion with people, it doesn't happen often, but if anybody is contending with you, tell the person, I will pray for you that you will live long. Then 20 years' time, you come and see whether I'm the wise one or you are the foolish one. I'm telling the truth. I've told you, everywhere everybody is running into is the wrong place. Yeah, when everybody is going one direction, stay back, ensure that you pray and God tells that is the correct way, because usually when the road is wide, it leads to destruction. When many people are going there, it leads to destruction. Usually the one that leads to distinction, few are they that find it. They are usually very few. When they are all queuing up and taking big jobs, the guy will be sitting down making, doing small inventions somewhere, but his heart is there. He knows that God is going to break forth upon me through this thing. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. This is how God does it. What the devil uses to is money, most of the time, to bait people away from their destiny. You know, I told the major one that I use against Nigerians today is what? I've told you now, visa. I'm telling you the truth. Look, American style lottery is very, very righteous. Do you get my point? But I will never play it. That's my personal opinion. No, I won't. Do you know why? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. You get it? That's why I first told you it's righteous. If God calls you to play American Visa lottery, and if you don't win, God has not called you. It's proof that you didn't. God didn't call you. And if you win, doesn't mean God has called you. But maybe you are right. I'm just, well, God will bless you wherever you go. But I personally, I have made up my mind that I will not. Not for any other reason than the fact that I know I have been called by God to affect my generation. And he did not say in the United States. If it says so, it would have been good. But because it didn't say so, nature itself does teach that it must be Nigeria. Because it's where I was born. And I've not been sold as a slave, carried on a ship to the place. Do you get my point? Nature itself is teaching, like Papa would say, nature itself doth teach that it must be Nigeria. Simple. Let me tell you what. If you make decisions without the fear of tomorrow, without the fear of money, poverty, you usually make the right decision. Including if the decision means going to Australia. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Let me just summarize what I have said so much today in just these words. That there is a great place that God is taking a man to. There is a great place God wants to take a woman to. The point is that he first asks a simple question. Do you really want to go there? And the way you will say yes is by the kind of decisions that you take, watching out for whether they are pleasing to God or not. I told you, all God will tell you is that I have given you. Then he now tells you that you will now go out and possess it. And when you have possessed it, then you have now begin to live in it. He described it like that because there is a process for possessing it, and there is a process for what? Living in it. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Maybe next time I'll explain something about possessing, because it's important. Paul talked about the spirit of faith, that having the same spirit of faith as the one who says, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we do what? We speak. The first thing a man needs to do when he has discovered where God is taking him to is to declare it. Sometimes it begets persecution, but declare it all the same. Sometimes it begets troubles, declare it all the same. You think you are so pompous, you think you are the only one that is serving God. I never said I was the only one serving God. I only said this is where God is taking me to as I am serving him. I had that a quarrel like that with a classmate of mine when I was in university. You know, every medical student fears second MB. That's their first major exam. So, of course, you tackle the exam with prayer and fasting and with reading. So I used to say very loudly that this exam, I can't fail it. That I can't fail it. So one day we're in the lab, I think anatomy lab, and we're just talking. I started again. I remember the guy very well. Valo, that's what we used to call him. He got up and walked away, knocked a stool over in the process. Because of the anger, he said, you talk as if God is for you alone. I answered him, I said, you can take as much of him as you want. He's free for everybody. He walked away. The next day, I saw another of my classmates who witnessed that same that discussion. He called me to order. Alex, that was the guy's first name. And said, I hope you understand that it is not good to talk so boldly. I use the word like arrogantly. And I said, depends on what you are boasting about. That's what I told the guy. And the good Lord, in his infinite mercies and everlasting kindness, ensured that none of the words that I spoke failed. Even when he had to interject by a miraculous revelation of question papers, of questions, he did. Oh, he did. But I kept declaring, this one, I have overcome. I have overcome. Listen, when you have seen the description of where you are going, declare it. You know, I have told you, if I start a company, my goal will be that I'll go and check how much they are paying the big boys in Shell. I will pay my own guy too. Why? Because I have been blessed to be what? A blessing. Look, I'm not in life. I don't care if me and my MD of the company I started are earning the same. That by the time we finish paying him, he and I will be on the same salary. I'm happy. But I have to be able to declare boldly that I pay good salaries, that people must queue up and be using connection to get my job. That it will be funny, you say, when you catch you, I heard you used to know the guy. Oh boy, I beg, can you speak to me can you speak to him on my behalf? He say, okay, I will try. Then I know that I have started. That is what is called glory. Because he said, unto you that fear him, will the Son of Righteousness arise. You know, Son, it must shine brightly upon you. Come on, enlarge your course. Pray like Jabez. That Jabezic prayer is a very good prayer. You understand? Oh, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my course. That word is very important. Enlarge my course so that, look, I don't have to go around driving the biggest car. No. That's a matter of personal preference. I like very big cars. There are those who like very small ones. That's a matter of personal preference. But I must be able to stand one day and I see a big car pass and I tap you. That is one of my managers, one of the small ones. Do you get my point? That's our official car, one of the small ones. That if you see the big boy, no. And, you know, and this is just the guy who through whom God is doing all these great things. And listen, please, I want you to have every morning when you wake up, look at life brightly. Look, I am not saying that your environment will tell you what's going to happen. I am saying that they will eventually cooperate with what God wants to do in your life. That's what I am saying. That's what I am saying. That the seasons of your life is what will determine whether it will be raining outside or it will be dry outside. Not the rain inside your life being determined by the season outside. Do you get my point? If you are a rainy man, when you get to a dry place, it becomes the rainy season. And that should be your focus. You wake up in the morning thinking about it and declaring it. When you wake up next morning, call your neighbor. Shake my hand. Bye-bye. Come, hey, that handshake, you will tell your children about it too, so better remember. And then you go. Because, like Pastor Paul will say, something is about to happen. I hope you understood what I said. Let's rise to our feet and bless the name of the Lord. I want us to just give God thanks again because indeed he has called us for greatness. You know, that's the passion of my heart. I hate seeing children of God thinking small. You understand? Thinking small as if because where you were born and the color of your skin is a disadvantage. Come on, brethren, it is not. I wanted to just give God thanks that I know, Father, that I am not disadvantaged in any form. In fact, you are preparing me to be a great advantage in people's lives. That's what I wanted to just give God thanks for. And declare boldly, as you are giving him thanks, declare boldly that my life is not average. I am a great man. I am a great woman that God has made. I am a blessing to the places that I go to. I am not blessed because of the place I live in, but the place I live in is blessed because I have come there. Declare that God has made me a righteous man. That means that everything around cooperates to ensure that I succeed. That the life of God in me is birthing upon this earth something great that is about to happen. That God is preparing me as a savior and a champion that he has sent down to this earth. I want you to declare that. That my sins are forgiven. That means that the righteousness of God is in me. The devil cannot hold me down with anything. He cannot hold me down with sickness. He cannot hold me down with poverty. I am not afraid of the devil. If anything, I am taking down his kingdoms. I'm bringing down his gates and claiming the domain of the devil for the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. That I am God's champion that he has sent upon the earth. When God looked and saw the iniquity, he created me to be a solution to somebody's problem. He has created me to become a solution to a country's problem. He has created me to be a solution to a city's problem. I am an evangelist of God. I am a prophet of God, bringing forth his anointing and solving people's problems. I have been blessed to be a blessing. I have been blessed to be a blessing. I have been blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus.